Just talking about the 70s. So how can you be over the Isser of Baal Tosef? Right? What does it mean to be over the Isser of Baal Tosef? I say something, it has no meaning. So there's a very interesting machlokas between Rashi, Allah Torah, and the Ramban, and the Rambam. And one of the interesting parts about Rav Lichtenstein's methodology, and Rav Aaron taught tens of thousands of Talmidim across the globe, is that very often you just run right to the Gemara, and to the Mishnah, and to the Tosfos, and to the Rashi. Rav Aaron was always makbid that we should first read the Pesukim. Like, just read the Pesukim, listen to what the Pesukim are telling you, read the Rashi Al HaTorah, read the Ramban Al HaTorah. Have you guys ever heard of the Mechilta? You know what the Mechilta is?
Yeah, the group is one of the commentaries.
Right, so what happened was, before Yehuda HaNasi compiled the Mishnah, so people were just teaching Torah Sheba'al Peh. People had different styles of teaching Torah Sheba'al Peh. Some people taught Torah Sheba'al Peh not based on topic, but based on text. So Rabbi Yishmael would go through Parsha Sefer Shmos, and every time there'd be a pasuk in Shmos, he'd give the halachos about those pesukim, and that became known as Mechilta. Or in Vayikra, Rabbi Shimon, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, would teach all the pesukim and then convey all the halachos, and that was called the Sifra. Have you heard of the Sifra or the Torah Sgonim? And he also would teach Devarim and Bamidbar, and he would teach Sifri. So this is known as Medrashei Halacha. Normally we think Midrashim are like stories and fables and morally important statements. These are called Medrashei Halacha. And then Yehuda HaNasi came along and put together the Mishnah, and sometimes he borrowed from the Mechiltas and from the Sifris and the Sifra, and he just clipped and pasted. Sometimes he didn't. And very often in the Gemara you'll have something quoting the Mechilta. So these are, I would say, parallel Tanaitic texts. It wasn't the canonized text of Yehuda HaNasi, it was a parallel text of the Tanaim. So we'd always have to read Psukim, the Rashi, the Ramban, the Sfarno, the Chizkuni, the Mechilta. Like Rav Aaron's shiur, and this shiur took about 4 hours. I mean, you can't imagine how magnificent these shiurim were and how taxing they were. So this shiur was about 4 hours long, and the first hour we talk about the Psukim. So if you look in Rashi, source number 3, Rashi explains Lo Tosifu, Kagon, Chamesh Parshios Bitfilin. If you put an extra parsha into your box, there are 4 parshas in tefillin. I'm not going to ask you because I don't want to put anyone on the spot. But Shema, V'Hayim Shema, and Kaddish Likal B'char. Kaddish comes before Yuvecha. So there's Chan and Ekev, and the 2 in the end of Bo. And Mitzvah only has 2: Shema and V'Hayim Shema. So let's say you put a 5th parsha. Let's say, I don't know, you put parshas Vayechi. You like parshas Vayechi. You like Birchas Yaakov. You stick it into the tefillin. Then you violate Baal Tosef. Or Chameshes Minim Balulav. You have a lulav, esrog, hadassim, and aravos, and you take a rose. You like roses, you know, Guns N' Roses. You know, Guns N' Roses fans, they're willing to admit it. Favorite song?
Paradise City.
Oh, November Rain. Okay. Anyway, you put a rose. You celebrate Guns N' Roses. Okay. You're over in Baal Tosef. Or chamesh tzitzias. You put a 5th tzitzias. You're a crazy guy. You like the number 5. You're into Kabbalah. I don't know. Your favorite sports player is number 5. I don't know. Who is famous number 5? My dad was Donovan McNabb, a terrible quarterback for the Eagles, who thought he was good. But any big sports players today have number 5? Not really. It's not a famous, not a big number, right? No, right. Okay, so there you go. Rafi, chance for you to make your mark on history, become a football player and have number 5. You know.
Joe Flacco 5?
Okay, there you go. Okay, not good. Right. Good point. Okay. I like this guy. You're into Gershon ready. Okay, you like Guns N' Roses and you know good quarterbacks. Okay. I'm a Colts fan because I grew up in Baltimore. Andrew Luck, that's a quarterback. I mean, come on. Give you some love, right?
Number 12.
Okay, number 12. Okay, anyway. So you put the fifth tzitzis in. So what's happening in Rashi? Okay, look at what's happening in Rashi. The 3 examples he gives, okay? You've got the following 2 parameters being met. Number 1, there is an item whose complexion you're changing. You're changing the complexion of tzitzis. You're changing the complexion of dalad minim. You're changing the complexion of tefillin. And these items are defined numerically. There are 4 parshios, 4 minim, 4 tzitzis. So it's not like you're changing the complexion of tzitzis by putting blue dye or by putting a safety pin on it or by, I don't know, tying it a certain way. By introducing an additional element to the numerical allocation, you've changed the complexion. So there are now, let's say, 10 guys in the room. If all of a sudden we took a few more guys into this room, it would be a different class from another class. So the class would change. If we took some guys from the public school and put them into Rambam, then the population, the complexion, the chemistry of Rambam would change. So I'm changing an item. You understand what Rashi is saying? Because otherwise, how can I be over Baal Tos? If I say there's a mitzvah to drink coffee on Tuesday morning, I'm an idiot. I'm a lunatic. I'm being the funny farm. You know, nothing I'm saying has any meaning. But here, I'm taking an object of a mitzvah that has a particular halachic definition, and by introducing something, and not just introducing it casually, but by augmenting the number of items, I've changed it. Now I've made a whole new type of tefillin, a whole new type of tzitzis, a whole new type of lulav. So Rashi has a very, very streamlined definition of Baal Tosef for good reason, because you can't really be over Baal Tosef just by freelancing. We would think, if you just read Eliyahu Baal Tosef, and the Pasuk, you say anyone that freelances, but freelancing has no halachic impact, it's who are you. So according to Rashi, you're not over Baal Tosef by freelancing and by extending halacha, you're over Baal Tosef by reconfiguring. It's called a halachic. Anyone know the lamdasha term in halacha for an object? What do we call an object of a mitzvah? A cheftza. You've changed the cheftza. Very good. You've changed the cheftza of the mitzvah. Some mitzvahs are not based on any cheftza. Emunah and Hashem, there's no cheftza. You just have to believe in Hashem. Davening, there's no cheftza. You believe in Hashem. But very often, there's a cheftza of a mitzvah. Matzah, lulav, tefillin. Some cheftzas of the mitzvahs are unquantified. Matzah is matzah. There's a quantification. You need a kazayis for the achila, but you have matzah whether you have a kazayis or not. Just whether you do an achila, that depends on whether you eat a kazayis. But it's matzah even if you have a small little piece. There's no difference between less than a kazayis and matzah. You don't say, oh, I have less than a kazayis and matzah. It's not matzah. It's matzah. You just can't be mekayim the mitzvah with it. But tefillin, without four pashios, as we say in the yeshiva world, nishkein tefillin. It's not tefillin. In Yiddish, it's not tefillin until it's four pashios. Now I've inserted a new element and changed the chemistry and the complexion of tefillin. The Ramban and the Rambam disagree with Rashi. And we haven't even started the sugya. That's what makes it so powerful. Rav Aaron is just looking at the pre-sugyatic sources before we get to the Gemara. So let's take a look first at the Ramban al-Atar. Rav Aaron, we once asked Rav Aaron, if you were stuck on a desert island, hey, Shalom, what's your name?
David.
David what?
Lichter.
Come on, David Lichter, and?
Aaron.
Okay, you guys look like you really want to be here. Okay, come on in.
Okay,
David and Aaron. Aaron what?
Aaron Maradi.
Aaron Maradi.
Yeah.
Sit down. Okay, come. Just move it forward. I want to keep the group small, intimate. Okay. So he once asked Rav Lichtenstein, if you were stuck on a desert island, which would be the one sefer you'd want to bring with you? And we all assumed it would be the Rambam, because Briskers are really into the Rambam. Rav Aaron said the Ramban. He felt that the Ramban al Torah is the greatest condensation of Jewish thought. Like, if you want to get the basic of Jewish machshava, read Ramban al Torah. Well, I mean, it's a little hard for you now. You're still starting off. But if you read through the Ramban al Torah regularly, you'll pretty much have the mainstream frontline masorah of what we're built. And obviously there's different approaches, Chassidus and Kabbalah and Machshav. Ramban was a synthesizer. Ramban synthesized between the literalists. Anyone know who one of the great literalists in the medieval period was? Who are the people that read the verse very, very literally, were very wary of introducing Midrashim? Whom? Not so much. Not so much the Ramban. The Ramban's actually very allegorical. Remind me your name again? Josh, right? What's your name? Yes, see, that got him into trouble. A lot of people thought, like, for example, the Rambam reads the beginning of Vayera, when Hashem visits Avram, as a dream, as allegory, or Eov as allegory. And that's why people burned his Svarim, because they thought it was heresy. But Rashbam, Rashi's grandson, the Evan Ezra, these were the literalists. And then, of course, you had the Midrashim and Rashi and the Svarim. So the Ramban was a synthesizer. He tried to have both. It was very fascinating to read the Ramban. I was actually once on a rabbinic panel, like, you know, all these stuffy rabbis, and I'm obviously not a stuffy rabbi because I like Guns N' Roses. And, you know. So, like, they were asking, if you were stuck on a desert island, like, what sefer would you bring? And, like, each answer was, like, more boring and more holy than the next. I would bring the Rambam, and I would bring the Shagas Aryeh, and I would, like, shoot me now. You know? I'm sitting there, like, dying a thousand deaths. So they finally came to me and said, if you were stuck on a desert island, what sefer would you bring? I said, if I were stuck on a desert island, the one sefer I would bring is How to Build a Ship. That was like a mic drop. Everyone came over to the end of it. Like, of course, it's How to Build a Ship. How's a Rambam going to help you in a desert island? Build a ship and get off. You got the whole library. Okay. And then some, you know, guy in the back said, Bar Ilan, you know, the Bar Ilan. Well, you're on a desert island. There's no power. There's no outlets. A desert island with, like, endless electrical current coming from some volcano. What?
Solar.
Okay, here's the math geek. Okay. there's always the geek in there.
Science.
Okay, good. I like math, don't worry. Rav Lichtenstein, when he came to YU, asked Rabbi Soloveitchik what he should study. So Rabbi Soloveitchik said, study math. So Rav Aaron studied math. He went to the Rav half a year in. The Rav asked him, how'd you like math? Rav Aaron said, I hated it. What should I do? The Rav said, study more math. The Rav loved math because it's the foundation of the universe. It's what the universe is built on. So if you look at the Ish Halacha, which is one of the Rav's famous Machshavas Svarim, it all talks about Kant and people that were able to draw philosophy from math. That sounds pretty geeky to you. Don't worry, it is. You're not crazy. You're not listening. It is geeky, but you know, one day the geeks will rule the world. You know, the geek in your room, guys. As much as you make fun of him, he's going to be your boss in 20 years because he's going to rise up the corporate ladder. You'll come in all cool, playing ball for a couple of years. You'll be the mailboy. He'll be your exec. So, right, so just be nice to him now, okay? Anyway, so the Ramban says Ulafi Daiti, source number 4. Afilu Bada. By the way, again, I'm reading it to you because I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but when I give shiurs, a lot of interaction. Guys read, you hear a lot. So I want to keep the shiur moving with limited time, but I want you to get a flavor for the shiur that I give. Kigon, Afilu Bada Lasos Mitzvah Bifnei Atzma. Even if you make up your own mitzvah, Kigon, Shasachag Bechodesh Shabada Melibo. I say that Yud Aleph Teves is a chag. I make a new chag. It's called Chag Memphis. I don't know. It's called Chag, I don't know, Rafi. I make a new Chag. Everyone's got to say something nice about Rafi. Big mitzvah. Yeah.
Everybody's
got
to get this really cool tree on the stage in December.
Okay, here's Mr. Random. You're in. I like random guys. Okay, I like guys who come up with the random comments. Okay. You make your own Chag. You make your own Chag. That's not Rashi. You see the difference between Rashi's very contracted view of Al Tosif, where you're taking an object of a mitzvah that has numerical iteration, and you're changing its complexion by adding its tzitzis, by adding its fill-in, by adding dalet minim. According to the Ramban, you really can be over Baal Tosif by just freelancing, making something
up. In theory, if you added an extra tzitzis, nobody would know. Nobody's coming over to you and counting 1, 2, 3.
Okay,
five,
but it's
six,
not
seven,
about
eight.
It's not about public perception. It's about you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you and the halachic system. It's not about what people are saying. Avodas Hashem, it's not about people, it's about you and Hashem. If you were on a desert island, your life wouldn't change. You still have to be an Oved Hashem and perform mitzvahs and learn Torah. I mean, okay, and you know, part of the danger is when you, especially when you live in the five towns, sometimes those two clash: public conformity and about it. You know, it's you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about what people around you are doing. Now, people around you can create positive peer pressure and association and community, but you know, you can't break down a Oved Hashem from what people are saying about you. Lama Yemur Hagoyim, Lama Yemur Hagoyim. Anyway, so getting back to the Ramban, everyone see the contrast between the Ramban and Rashi. Rashi has a very contracted view. Now I'm going to use Lumdish terminology. I like to clarify things, and you say it speak very clearly, but also give you the classic language so that when you open a sefer, you can associate what you've seen with, let's say, what others have said. Who's in, Rabbi, what's his name, who gives the Dalai Beis Medrash, Rabbi Ziskin. So he likes to quote a lot of Svarim for you, Kovet Shiurim, and Steckblues and Shums, right? What is he teaching in this year?
No,
the other's less. Probably Brisker Rubs and stuff like that. So you have to be able not just to know what the concepts are, but know how to trace them in other Svarim. So the chilek between Rashi and between the Ramban is Rashi feels that Baal Tosif is only achieved by changing the chefs of the mitzvah. According to the Ramban, even if you add an extra maisa mitzvah. Everyone see that now, the articulation? I've added a whole new activity which the Torah didn't legislate, and I'm trying to enshrine it or institutionalize it as a mitzvah. So now I've given you the language. Is Baal Tosif only if I change the chefza by introducing an additional numerical element which changes the complexion? Quantity is quality, right? That's called synergy. Quantity is always quality. So if I add another element, having just added an element, I change the complexion. If I bring people from DRS into this room, it's a different room. Sorry to say, I didn't mean to say that. Strip that from the records, okay? If I'm being from Rabbi Weiser into this room, then all of a sudden it's a different. Okay, guys. Okay. Grow up. Okay, different complexion. Or I've created a whole new Maisa mitzvah. Okay, so in our, does this work?
Yeah, it works just right on me.
Okay, so Baal Tosif. Got to be like,
it doesn't work well.
Got to be the rock to use this. You know, I got to start working out. Okay, call the rock in there. Baal Tosif. Okay. Baal Tosif. I'd rather a strong board than a smart board. Okay, Baal Tosif. I'm going to have to like cut my finger and use my blood or something.
That's right.
Thanks. Just goes to show you guys, being smart isn't everything. Okay. Lesson of life. Very good. Bal Tosef, is a din in changing the chefza, or even an extra maisa mitzvah.
It
works. Perfect. I like it. You're accepted to gush. Assuming you pass your bechina. Okay, so, Bal Tosef, which one is it? Now, the Rambam is very similar to the Ramban, with slight modifications, and we'll see those modifications. But he's clearly on the Ramban side. Okay, this is Rashi. This is the Ramban. Let's read the Rambam. The Rambam basically, and this shows you the godless of the Rambam, because he's not responding to particular micro details of halacha. He has bird's eye view. He's looking at the system. So the Rambam is saying, wait a second. Chachamim make gezeras left and right. The whole shas is filled with gezeras. In theory, every takana could be a baltosif. Every add-on of the chachamim, they're adding on. So where do you draw the line between a takana of the chachamim and baltosif? That's like a macro question. You're not like, oh, I have a kasha in this Tosfos or a kasha in this Rashi. I'm looking at the system. And people who knew Torah really well, they don't just respond to particular trigger points or a steer in a question. That's how well Rav Aaron knew Shas. I felt like, I'll be honest with you, I felt like I was learning from an Amara. Rav Aaron taught us not just to read Achronim, but to think like Achronim. I can think like an Achron. I don't just read the Brisker Rav or the Stipler. I read Rishonim, I process them, and I build models. I know people who think like Rishonim, that they don't have to read Rishonim. They can read six or seven sugyos and build models and then compare it to the Ramban and the Ritva. Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, the Rosh Hashiva, of course. I learned with him as a Chavrusa. I learned alongside of him as a Chavrusa. So I can't do that. I don't know Torah well enough. Rav Lichtenstein didn't think like a Rishi, and Imam just thought like an Amar. He basically was thinking about Torah. He wasn't reading Gemara, he was thinking about the concept. Oh, this is a Gemara that proves it. This is a. It would be like going back to the days of Amorai. That's how the Rav was. I could talk now till Shabbat. It was like literally standing Har Sinai. We are not looking at, okay, we're learning Sukkah, Daf Yud Gimel, and there's a Kasha and a Tosfos, and I'll solve the problem. But you're like, going up 20,000 feet in the air, looking at the whole system, oh, here, you put things together. That's the way to learn Torah. So the Rambam asked the following question. And again, we don't have enough time, so I'll just, trust me, that's his question. What's the difference? So he says as follows. Ketzad, source 5, line number 5. Harikasev batara lo sevashel gadi b'chalevima. Okay? So the Torah's halacha is you can't cook red meat with milk. Gedi is lamb. The Torah's halacha is essentially lamb and milk, or cow, beef burgers, beef and milk, as we would say, not poultry. Now we're up to line 3, 6, 8. End of line 8. The line begins with the word basar. The end of the line. Im yavo based in, I'm sorry, im yasa, line number 9, the middle of it. Im yasa or basar ha'of. If Basin will say that you can't cook meat with chicken, with poultry, the Yomar and the Seishu Bichlal Hagidi, that the Torah's intention was to include not just red meat, but also poultry, Hareze Mosif. That's Mosif. Namely, you're taking a category in the Torah and you're extending the category. Torah says you can't cook red meat with milk. You're saying it doesn't just mean red meat, the Torah's intention is even poultry. That's Baltosif. I'll just summarize for you. If the Chachamim say, look, the Torah said, which they did, you can't cook red meat with milk, that's the Torah's category. We're adding on an extra gezerah not to cook chicken. We're not trying to extend the Torah's category. The Torah's category is red meat and milk. We're trying to say, by the way, midrabanan, we'll add a gezerah. That's not baltosif. Are they stretching the category? That's baltosif. Are they maintaining the integrity of the category? They're just saying, by the way, the Torah says one thing's aser. We're coming and saying something else is aser. You see the difference between changing the category of the Torah or just adding a new iser midrabanan? That's the Rambam's chiddush. The Rabbanan have the right to add Isur. That's what they do. For certain reasons, to prevent certain chumras. It's a beautiful part of halacha. Sometimes it's overused. Sometimes it's misapplied. But chumras is at the core of our home. We take mitzvah seriously. We take our avodas Hashem seriously. And if we feel there's a particular danger, right, what are the areas that we're specifically machmir about? Shabbos, because it's so theologically central. Muksa is one big elaborate chumrah midrabanan, because if you carry hammers and cell phones and everything, you may be over yisurim, so even if you carry them. The world of sexuality has a lot of chumrah, so yichud and negia, and when you get married, you'll see the world of nidam, mirtz Hashem, is very, very laden with chumrahs. Pesach is a time we're machmir, because it's so seminal to our nationhood, when we became a people, and so chumrah is a beautiful part of halacha. it's misapplied. In today's world, there are problems with chumras, but I think because of the problems, people have an allergic reaction to chumras. I don't want to be machmir because people are taking it to such fanatical ends. You have to be careful about how you apply chumra, when you apply chumra. So if the Rabbanan is saying, look, minatara, you can't eat red meat and milk. Midrabanan, you can't eat red meat, you eat or cook red meat and poultry, that's fine. With the Rabbanan is saying, no, when the Torah said you can cook meat and milk, they meant not just red meat, but also poultry, then that's considered baltasif. Okay. It's similar to the Ramban, Ben Moshe Ben Nachman. You're not changing a cheftza. Remember Rashi said the only way to be over baltosif is to take an object which has numerical constituency, numerical constituents parts to it, four medium in the lulav, four parshas in the tefillin, four parts of your tzitzis, and you're adding an element and you're changing the tzitzis. You're changing the cheftza. The Rambam is more similar to the Ramban. It's not changing an item. The difference between the Ramban and the Rambam is, number one, who? According to the Ramban, who could be over Baal Tosif?
Anyone.
According to the Rambam, who's over Baal Tosif? Beis Din, Chachamim. Because if I say something, I'm a nincompoop. My statements have no halachic impact. Whatever I say doesn't internalize into the system. You have to change the system. Baal Tosif is changing the system. I'm not part of the system. I'm not a legislator. I'm just a regular person. So it's only the Chachamim, however we define Chachamim, based in Chazal, but it is legislators, not just people. And the second difference between the Rambam and the Ramban is that according to the Ramban, I can just add some unrelated activity. Can anyone tell me what the Rambam is describing? I'm not adding an unrelated activity. What did I say? I'm stretching a category. It's not an object, it's a category. I'm adding a new item, but I'm inserting it into the category. The Torah builds the category for me. In the Ramban's view, I can just create my own category. I'm not latching on, I'm not leeching on, I'm not barnacling. You know what a barnacle is? And I'm not barnacling onto another category. In the Ramban, I'm just saying, you know what, there are 613 mitzvahs, I'm making a new mitzvah, you have to be a Jets fan. That's not barnacle to any other thing. That's just totally freelancing, totally autonomous. What? Seems like you're doing a good job at my student. I'm just playing with you. Come on, you think if you give it, you got to take it, right? That's basically. I grew up in Brooklyn. Trust me, I've gotten worse and better. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, good. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, getting back to the sugya, but in general, does everyone see that the Rambam is much more similar to the Ramban in the overall? And that's really, any coders here? Any guys like to code? Okay. Coding is really important because it teaches you what's called embedded logic. Gemara is all about thinking macro, micro. Namely, you're looking literally 25 Rishon. Next year, you're going to be reading 25 Rishon and trying to parse them, compare them, contrast them, build models. But then you got to read that one line in the Rishon and distinguish it and sharpen it and it's very hard to have both. Some people are really good microanalysts. So they're looking at that one line they know how to read. Some people are really good macro. They can follow the overall flow, but they don't read Rishonim well, and they read them very, very generally. It's really about both. So I remember I used to write code. I was a coder in my past life. I worked for IBM for many years. And I wrote a code of 10,000 lines, and it didn't work. And 10,000 lines, you really got to follow the flow and the discrete structures and the units. I'm like, I'm working there, trying. This is before compilers and debuggers in the 80s. And I was sitting there hours. Turns out I was using an old green Unix system. You know those old green computers that you see in movies?
Yeah.
And I was writing X.
Do you have the close
I was writing X equals 10. That was part of my code. And I wrote X equals 1 capital O. And the difference between the 0 and the O on those old green Unix was this was the 0 and the O was the same size with a little... No, this was the O and the 0 was the same size with a little slash through it. Like, go figure, go find that bug. But my 10,000 lines of code were failing because I wasn't able to look at that one. It's all about macro and micro. So macro, this is not really so macro, but macro, Ramban and Rambam are together. Micro, there's a little bit of difference between them. But in the... How do I erase this? The eraser here?
Oh, that arrow over there?
Okay. The arrow on the
top arrow? Press the eraser.
Bottom?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to delete everything?
No.
Just select the
one above it.
The one above it?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Fine.
Arrow, okay.
Fine, okay. So now, before we even started the sugya, you got the question. Okay? This is called a chakira in the classic world of Brisk. Brisk tries to define categories. What is the categorical definition of altosif? Because once you define your categories, then you can apply it and you can extend it and stretch it. And, okay? So now let's start learning the sugya. You saw, this is just a taste, and this took like an hour to unfold. Now just, let's see the sugya. Okay, again, I'm reading very, very loosely. I don't want you, because we really have to stop in half an hour, I don't want you to feel like, oh, we just talk, and we have like nice coffee conversations. I mean, we work, we read the Gemaras, we read the sugyas. There's a machlokis in the Gemara about whether you have to bind the four minim of the lulav. Rabbi Yehuda says, lulav tzarech eged, and the Rabbanan say lulav ain't sarachek. And namely, point to you have to take all three, bind them, and take them as one arrangement, one bouquet, as we would say. According to Rabbanan, you can take them separately, and according to some sheetahs, you can even pick them up one by one. Okay, but either separately, one by one, together in your hand, you don't have to bind them. Now, there's a stira between two sugyos as to whether Baal Tosef, remember Rashi said Baal Tosef applies to lulav, that Rashi says lulav, tefillin, and tzitzis? Would Baal Tosef apply only according to Rabbi Yehuda, because you have to bind them? Or Baal Tosef would even apply for lulav according to the Chacham? Namely, if I pick up lulav, hadasim, aravos, and a rose, am I over Baal Tosef only according to Rabbi Yehuda, because they're all bound in one bouquet? Or even according to the Rabbanan, I'm over on Baal Tosef? Okay, so I'll just read the Gemara for you, because I want you to feel like we're having a conversation, but there's a lot here to discuss, so I'll read it quickly. If you don't get the Gemara, don't worry. It's cool. Okay, but just I want you to see the Gemara. The first Gemara is on Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph. Okay. Ein Ogdin 6. Ein Ogdin is a little of Ella Bemino. Okay, you can see it on the bottom of Lamed Aleph. You have your Gemara. It's on the sheet. You have to use a lulav piece to bind the lulav, so you haven't increased the species in the lulav. You take a piece of lulav, that's why we take a piece of a lulav and we bind it. Divrei Bihuda, my time of Divrei Bihuda. Why can you not bind it with a rose or some other min? Why can't you wrap it around? Dikasavar, Rabbi Yehuda holds, lulav tsarech eged. You have to bind and wrap all the minim. V'imaisi minach mina, it's on the bottom of Laman Aleph. If you bring another min, according to Bihuda, Havile chamisha minim, kaching kaching, chamisha minim is Baal Tosef. So the Gemara Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph makes it sound like, according to Rabbi Yehuda, look at my hands, you got to bind all of them. So there Baal Tosef applies. According to the Rabbanan, since you're not really binding them, then Baal Tosef doesn't apply. So you can throw in a rose, you can wrap it with the rose. Which model of Baal Tosef does that seem to reflect to you? So now, this is the power of lambda. So we're moving from Rashi and Ramban and talking about concept. Now we're talking about a specific detailed machlokas and trying to, which model of Baal Tosef would be limited only to Rabbi Yehuda who holds lulav tzarech eged?
Rashi.
Rashi. Why? Very good.
Because they're on the actual object. Not on the
very good. To change an object, you need to demarcate the object to decide what's in, what's out. Right? If I have you all standing on the street, and I throw in a couple of DRS kids or public school kids, that would really change you because there's no coalescence. You're not part of one unit. If I bring them into the building is binding. Who's in this room? Who's in this building? Who's in this? So to change the complexion, I have to introduce a new item, but there has to be a boundary to the item to decide what's in, what's out. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, the item is one unit, right? I've created chemical bonding, whatever, chemical bonding. I've bonded them by wrapping them. And now by introducing that rose, I've changed the complexion. According to the Rabbanan, they're just totally disparate items. I'm not adding anything to the... There is no item. Say it even better. There's no item of Dalaminim. The mitzvah of Dalaminim is to pick up four different things. There is no larger... Tefillin is an item of four parshas because there are four parshas in a box. Tzitzis is an item of four tzitzis because there are four sets of fringes on an article of clothing. Question is lulav like that or not? It's not physical. Tefillin has a physical integration, the box. Tzitzis has a physical integration, the beged. Does lulav have a physical integration? Well, that depends. Do you have to bind them? Or you just can... Remember I told you, according to some shittos, you pick up one, lulav, hadasim, aravos. So if I pick up the rose, I haven't changed the lulav, haven't changed hadasim, haven't changed their rabbis. So the Gemara on daf, whatever. Is this the one that works? Or this one that works?
I think I'll change the rabbi. Press the small one, yeah. It's got, yeah, it's
up there. Right. The Gemara, the Gemara that says, Dafka L'Rebbe Yehuda, sounds like Rashi. Now, there's another Gemara that makes it sound like Baal Tosef applies even according to Mabana. I pick up a lulav. I pick up a rava. I pick up a dasim. I pick up an esrog. And then I pick up a rose. I'm over in Baal Tosef. It's a complicated Gemara, and we don't have time to read it, but trust me on this one. What does that sound like? If Baal Tosef applies even according to the Rabbanan, and I'm not binding them together, but just adding an extra lift, an extra hoisting, what does that sound like? Rashi or the Ramban and Rambam?
Ramban.
That's the steer. So you have a steer between two Gemaras. Is Baal Tosef only according only according to Rabbi Yehuda, or even according to the Ramban? There are two answers to this question. The Ramban, interestingly enough, which is a very interesting Ramban, we don't have the Ramban on Sukkah. You haven't read the Ramban on Sukkah this year. We have the Ritva, who learned from the Rashba, who learned from the Ramban. Trust me, there is a fundamental difference between learning a Sugya and a Shas and a Masechta that has Ramban and one that doesn't have. The Ramban is the core of the Sugya. When there's a Ramban, people across the world are spending hours dissecting the words, applying the words, understanding the words. Rav Aaron became physically ill. You could see when we learned the Masechta without a Ramban, like Psachim or Bava Kama, Sukkah. It's just that's where the Sugya explodes. Tosus and the Ramban. So the Ramban on Sukkah we don't have, but his Talmud was the Rashba, Rabbeinu Shlomo Ben Aderes, whose Talmud was the Ritva. And you have a Ritva. Have you learned the Ritva on Sukkah this year? Probably.
Yeah.
We're
learning one right now.
Okay. So anyway, so the Ritva quotes the Rashba, quotes his Rebbe. It's like me quoting Rav Aaron who quotes the Rav. My sense of Masara. He says, there really is only one Baal Tosef in Dalet Mina, which is strange for the Ramban to say. And Baal Tosef only applies if you hold like Rabbi Huda that you're binding the four Minim, and by introducing a rose, you're changing the Chetza. And this Gemara, the second Gemara, source number 7, that says there's Baal Tosef, even according to the Rabban, that's only a Takana de Rabban. It's not real Baal Tosef. Namely, this works. The Ramban, I'm going to put this on the side so I don't want to use it. The Ramban, and it's interesting, we have to solve the Ramban, but that's not for now. In Sukkah, says, no, Baal Tosef, according to the Rabbanan. Only according to Rabbi Yehuda, because he holds that Baal Tosef is based only on changing the Chefza. Right? Forget the fact that it's Ramban. Just take out the Ramban. I don't want you to get confused. It's the Ritva, okay? Call the Ritva so you won't confuse it with this Ramban. Tosfos believes that no. There are two types of Baal Tosef. One, if you change the Chefza, and that's the Baal Tosef according to Behuda, where you've introduced the rose into the bouquet, and one, if you do another Maisa. You pick up a lulav, you pick up a desa, you pick up a dozen, you pick up rabbis, and you pick up a rose. Namely, this question, is Baal Tosef limited only to changing the complexion of the Chefza? Or there is a Baal Tosef by adding a new Maisa mitzvah, namely picking up a rose in addition to picking up a lulav, esrog, dozen, and a rabbis? This question, which we sensed before we even started a sugya in Shas, in the Rishonim, we talk about the Psukim, this ends up being a Machlokas Rishonim. Forget the fact who says what right now. The Ritva says there is only one type of Baal Tosef, according to Rabbi Huda, because according to Rabbi Huda, you have a defined Chefza, and by introducing a rose, you've changed the Chefza. And the Gemara that suggests Baal Tosef, according to the Rabbanan, who don't need to bind it, that's only Midr Rabbanan. Tosfos says, no. There are two types of Baal Tosef. There's a baltosif when you change the chavtza, tefillin, tzitzis, lulav according to the hirda. And there's a baltosif when you change the maisa, when you pick things up. Okay. Here's where the fun starts. Here's where the fun starts, okay? Rav Aaron quoted, I have to tell you something. We had a sense that these were historical shiur. When I was taking my notes, I put down the day the shiur took place, the hour the shiur took place. I had the sense that these shiurim would be historical. I was in Grisha in the 80s. We would sit down after Shabbos, a group of us, and try to recreate the three shiurim that we had heard over Shabbos, and generally Musar, Sichot, and today you can go, has anyone ever heard of the VBM? Virtual Beit Midrash. It has maybe 80,000 shiurim. It's a Grisha virtual Beit Midrash online, high class. It's probably the leading high caliber shiurim. Like if you want Lamdisha shiurim, and Alacha shiurim, and Tanakh shiurim, and a lot of it, or the sichot that the Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein and Rav Amital gave, I wrote those, not on Shabbos. But how did we record these shiurim that were given on Shabbos? We sat there for hours, Matzei Shabbos, trying, what did he say? What was that line? It was just a group of five or six guys. And I get so much hana when I go somewhere and a rabbi quotes a sicha of Rav Amital from 1985, where Lichtenstein like, thank you. I was working my tail off. Anyway. These are just incredible shiur. I just want to make sure we're not stuck for time. Okay? Rav Aaron quoted three Gemaras that he solved, and then a fourth Gemara he didn't quote, and that's the Gemara I'll leave you with, because that's the Shemini Atzeres Gemara. Three Gemaras talk about Baltosef in Shas and make it sound like there is a Baltosef when you're not changing the Chefza, even when you're just adding a new Maisa. And if you're Tosfos, that's beautiful. If you're the Ritva, then you have to give an answer. And that's the creative spark. You see, the creative spark of Shas is when you have conflict and you have to try to solve the conflict by sharpening your definitions. That's what drives Lamdas. Tosfos institutionalize that. 80% of Tosfos, V'im Tomar, how could the Gemara say something here when there's Gemara in Yevamos? Clash, solution. Create categories. That's what Shas is built upon. So, number one. Any Kohanim here? Okay. Oppenheim, right?
No, that's...
What's your name?
Goldblatt.
Okay. How many psukkim are there in Birchus Kohanim? Three.
Yeah.
Yivracha Hashem v'yishmaracha. Okay, even non-Kohanim know that. What if Goldblatt gets up and says, during Birchus Kohanim, on Pesach, everyone's in shul. Yivarech Echa, does the Spock thing. Hashem, Yishmerech Echa. And then V'yaseim Lecha. And once Shalom, Gorbat says, Ma tovu alecha Yaakov Mishkin Osecha Yisrael. He has a fourth Pesach. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, you're over Baltosif. Okay. I tried to streamline these Makaras for you. The Gemara says, you're over Baltosif. Here, look at the Gemara. It's source number 13. Okay? Source number 13. Minayin Lakoin, the last line on 13. It's the Gemara Rosh Hashanah. She'ola l'duchen. Goldblatt gets up to duchen. She'lo yomar. Ho'il v'nasnin l'itara reshus l'varachas Yisrael. I have permission to give a bracha. It's a bracha mishalei. I'm making my own bracha. Whether you add a pasuk, you add your own poem. Roses are red, violets are blue. The Jews are gray, and I love it. Talmud Lomar, line number 3, Lo Tosifu. If Goldblatt adds an extra pasuk, he's over on Lo Tosifu. Which Baltosif does that support? Tosus or the Ritva? The Ritva that Baltosif is limited only to changing the chefza, or that there's a baltosif doing an extra activity of a mitzvah.
Extra activity.
What chefs have I changed by? Before your answer, Blut, does everyone see how the Gemara that applies baltosif to adding another bracha suggests that baltosif is not just when you change the chefza, but when you add another maisa? Because you've added another bracha, another pasuk. That was the kasha of Rav Chisida. I said, behold, like the Ritva, there's only one type of Baltosif, only changing the Chetzeh, and Baltosif, according to the Rabbanan, is only Midra Rabbanan, according to the Levin Sarach Eged. How do you explain Baltosif when you had an extra Bechas Kodim? So, Bluth, what do you want to say? Very good. What Chetzeh are you changing?
Your cost, not your cost.
The text. You guys are studying literature? Anyone like literature here? Doctorate, English literature. If you change a text by adding it to a different text, right? If you studied fragmented poetry, where you take part of a poem and you recite it, it's a different poem. Even though it's the same words as the full poem, it's called a fragment. There's a whole field of literature called fragmented poetry. If you add an extra line to a text, it's a different text, not just because there's another line, because the whole flow of the text is different. Let me tell you the moment that, like, I realized I'm in the big leagues. You listening? Rivara was talking about this issue, Bluth, as to whether changing and adding a line to a text changes the complexion of the text. And he said, yeah, this was something that's based on a very famous Beis Halevi. Anyone know who the Beis Halevi was? Beis Halevi was the Rav's great-grandfather, the first Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. And he wants to know, can a Kohen do duchening by listening to another Kohen and answering Amen? Because normally, you can listen to someone else's bracha and be yotze. What do we call that? Shomea Keone. But duchening needs to be said loud. So, I'm not really loud, but you're loud. It needs. So he said it as follows. The Beis Halevi said the following pshat on duchening. But his son, Reb Chaim, argued with the Beis Halevi about this particular aspect. And then Rav Aaron said, but when I was learning with the Rav Aaron was the Rav's son-in-law, the Rav told me that his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, who is Rav Chaim's son, he disagreed with his father, Rav Chaim, agreeing with the Beis Halevi. So basically, you have the Beis Halevi and Rav Chaim, I'm sorry, the Beis Halevi and Rav Moshe versus Rav Chaim. Beis Halevi said one thing, Rav Chaim argued, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik argued with his father, Rav Chaim, agreeing with the Beis Halevi. Okay, great, Beis Halevi, Rav Chaim, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Then Rav Aaron listened and said, but the Rav told me that he disagreed with his father, Rav Moshe, agreeing with Rav Chaim, his grandfather, disagreeing with his great-grandfather, Beit. Okay, makes sense. Beis Halevi, Rav Moshe, Rav Chaim, Rav Soloveitchik, it all makes sense. But he says, but when I was learning with the Rav, I told him that I dafka agreed with his father, Rav Moshe. Okay, so now we have, I'm trying to keep the calculus. Beis Halevi, Rav Moshe, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Rav Chaim, and the Rav on different sides of the equation. And I promise you, he says, but last night, I was learning the Gemara with my son Moshe, who's now the Rosh Hashiva of Grush, and he told me that he dafka agrees with the Rav. I said, my goodness, I've got six generations of Brisker Torah just laid out. Beis Halevi, Chaim, Moshe, Rav, Rav Aaron. I said, can I get in on the action? Like, my name is Moshe, like, I'm an incompoo from Brooklyn, but maybe I could say something smart and intelligent. No, don't worry, I didn't do that. So that's how Rav Aaron solved the Birchas Kohanim mission. Okay.
Wait, what was the answer?
The answer was, you're changing the chefts of the text. The text is being changed by adding another bracha. Even if you hold the Baltosa, it's only by changing a cheftza. Here, the cheft is not the tefillin, it's not the tzitzis, but it's the text of Birchas Kohanim. Okay, the Gemara says just because we have 10, 10, 15. Machlokes in the Gemara, if you want to save tefillin on Shabbos from being burnt, so you have to wear them. If you want to save tefillin from being burnt on a weekday, just put them in your pocket and run away. But if it's Shabbos, you can't carry. So you have to put the tefillin.
I don't mean to interrupt, hi, but...
But you are.
No, you are. I don't mean to, but I do.
Yeah, they tell me till 10:15.
There's a different schedule this morning.
They said I can go until 10:15. You want me to go somewhere else?
I have to find a room for my guys.
No, but
That's the one. I taught his daughter, I taught his son. Okay, I could bring it. Anyway.
Is he there now?
He's not my share. You gotta be, yes, pal. Fry me a little, maybe, you know, okay. Anyway, so the Gemara is a machlokas. If you want to say tefillin on Shabbos, can you wear two at a time? You wear it, so you're not being overhotzah. You're wearing it as like a baguette. Can you wear two at a time? Chum say yes, Rabbi Gamliel says no, you're over on Baltosif. Wearing tefillin twice is Baltosif. Not adding an extra parasha, wearing two pairs of tefillin. Which Baal Tosef does that suggest? Changing the Chavetza or adding a new Maisa?
Adding a new Maisa.
So if you're Tosef, you're sitting pretty with that Gemara and Erevin. If you're the Ritva, there's only one type of Baal Tosef, what Chavetza are you changing? I mean, these are like fireworks going off.
If I had to say something, I would say the Chavetza is one Shel Yad, one Shel Rosh, and you're changing the Chavetza by doing two Shel Yad, two Shel Rosh?
Close. So Rav Aaron quoted a very, very famous Chiddush of Rabbi Salafetik. How many brachas do you make on tefillin?
One, and the second one you say Baruch Shem.
Rashi Rebbeinu Tam, great.
It's really one because you say Baruch Shem
okay.
on the second one.
Why, that's Mechalik's Rashi Rebbeinu Tam. Why are there two brachas? So the Rav always felt that whenever there are two brachas to a mitzvah, basically there are two parts of the mitzvah. The Rav claimed that by tefillin there are two parts of the mitzvah. One part is the mechanical aspect of dying. There's another, let's read the Rambam. The Rambam writes, source number 16, Kedushas Tefillin, Kedushas and Gedolehi. Shekol zman she tefillin barosh shel adam v'al zera, when you're wearing tefillin, hu anav, you have to be modest, v'yirei shamayim, and you have to be yirei shamayim, v'eino nimshach b'schok, v'sicha b'teilu, you shouldn't be thinking about trivial things, v'eino mahara machshav az ros, ela mefana libo b'divr ha'emes, you should think about important things, v'atzedek. The Rav claimed that part of the mitzvah of tefillin is to change the kedusha of your body and of your mind. To put on a sefer Torah, or a miniature sefer Torah on your body, and to be suffused with a higher level of religious consciousness. That's just not a nice pshat. That's part of the halacha. That's why you have to be very careful not to discharge gas when you're wearing tefillin. That's why all the mitzvahs, you start doing in a very early age. Tzitzis, you're mechanic with tefillin, you wait till like a month before. Why? Because you can't control your body. Since you can't. But if you have diarrhea, you're patur from tefillin. If you have uncontrollable diarrhea, mamish can't hold yourself back, you shouldn't put on tefillin. Not because you're being mevaza the tefillin. Part of the mitzvah of tefillin is to have that physical purity and conceptual, mental, emotional, religious consciousness. Namely, what chefza is being changed by having two tefillin? Not the tefillin, but what chefza is being changed by having two tefillin? What? What item? You. Your body, which is part of the mitzvah of tefillin. The mitzvah is to transform your body into a different body and your mind into a different mind. That's how being transformed by two rather than one. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted the transformation to happen with one pair. And now you're creating a transformation with two pairs and your body, which is part of the mitzvah. The mitzvah is two brachas. The Rav felt in Haniach is the bracha that talks about wrapping. Now mitzvah tefillin is the bracha that talks about how your body should transform. So there's a chefza that's changing by putting on two tefillin. You. And Rav Aaron spoke about this for 45 minutes, quoting all the Raya's of Rabbi Soloveitchik, that by tefillin, the mitzvah is not just you, the tefillin, but it's you. Third Gemara. Gemara says, what happens, and I'm just really, 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 really summarizing, what happens if I take a karban whose blood is supposed to be placed in the mizbeach once? There's two different types of karbanos. Some karbanos, you put the blood once, one zrika. Some karbanos, you put four zrikos on each keren. What if I mistakenly or even intentionally take blood which should be placed one time and place it four times? I'm over on Baal Tosef. Again, it sounds like Baal Tosef, I haven't changed any chefza. The blood isn't changing. I'm just putting it four times. Sounds like Baal Tosef by adding a maisa.
Changing
the mizbeach. Excellent. Rav Aaron claimed based on the Gemara, the Torah never says that you should put the blood four times on the mizbeach. When the Torah, let's just look at the last source, just because I want you to see some sources. Source number 20, the Gemara in Zvachim says, Talmud Lomar Saviv, you should put the blood around the Mizbeach. Ma'alahal, on the end of the Gemara, Pisuk v'arba matanus, Avkan Pisuk v'arba matanus. The four isn't four. The four just happens to be, there are four corners. The mitzvah is to circumvent the Mizbeach with blood, to glaze the entire Mizbeach with blood. If you put an extra place, you put, instead of four, you put five. Let's say four, you put five. Not one to four, but four to five. What have you changed? You haven't changed the blood, you've changed. The Mizbech is supposed to be glazed with how many drops of blood?
Four.
Or four. And you've now glazed the Mizbech with? Five. You see how this whole sugya of Baal Tosef spreads its wings, how to understand tefillin, how to understand Mizbech, how to understand Brichas Kohanim. These were amazing shiurim because it just spread all over Shas. Tosef has an easy time reading all these sugyas. There are two types of Baal Tosef. There's a Baal Tosef of changing the chetza, and there's a Baal Tosef of an extra maisa, an extra bracha, an extra pasuk, an extra drop of blood, an extra maisa, hanachas tefillin. But if you're the Ritva, there's only one type of Baal Tosef. changing the chetza, how do you account for all these gemaras that indicate there's a baltosif without changing a chetza? You got to find some chetza that changes. There's got to be some chetza that's part of the halach of the mitzvah that changes. The text changes by adding a pasuk. The person's body changes by adding tefillin. You got to prove halachically. This isn't a chassidish avard. You have to prove halachically that your body is part of the mitzvah. By the way, that's why women shouldn't wear tefillin. There's the whole women's tefillin issue is they're allowed to and encouraged to do every single mitzvah cessation of grama that they're brought from and even make a bracha. But being that tefillin requires a gufnaki, so it is risk-reward. You have to wear tefillin and take the risk that you'll compromise the Kedusha's tefillin because you're chayev. You have to try your hardest. Someone who's pater, to take the extra risk, it doesn't. That's why women, the minhag is not to wear tefillin. Because part of the mitzvah is, and especially women, biologically have a harder time maintaining gufnaki because they've got discharges that, you know, Baruch Hashem, it's part of reproduction, part of. So the reason that the minhag was that women could do any mitzvah they want, but not tefillin, was for this reason. Because built into tefillin, that's why we don't wear tefillin at night. Because night is hard to keep Kedusha's gluff. Of course, you go to sleep, you fall asleep, things will come out of your body. So it's right at night we don't wear tefillin. Tefillin is asur balayla. Okay, so now I'll leave you with the Gemara that Rav Aaron didn't quote. I think he did, but I just never understood it. I wish I could. There's a fourth case. The Gemara says, and this is why I was thinking of you guys. Take a look back at that Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, source number 13. Amale Abaye, Elameata, first line. Hayashin bishmini besukah yilakeh. What happens if you sleep in the sukkah on Shemini Atzeres in Israel? In Chutz La'aretz, Shemini Atzeres may be the seventh day. But let's say on Simchat Torah you sleep in the sukkah. The Gemara suggests you'd be over Bal Tosef. What type of Bal Tosef is that? An extra Maisa Mitzvah or changing the Chavtza?
Extra Maisa
Mitzvah. You're performing Mitzvah Sukkah an extra day. If your only definition of Bal Tosef is changing the Chavtza of the Mitzvah, how could there be Bal Tosef by sleeping an extra day in the sukkah? You're not changing the sukkah.
But it does say you're supposed to say
that's where you have to go. I never really got this. I'm still 40 years after learning, 30 years after learning this. What you have to say is basically the mitzvah of sukkah is not seven separate days, but it's one long residence that's composed of 7 days. Hashem's vision of sukkah is to spend a week in the sukkah, not 7 days. And by adding a day, you're changing your rental period. That needs a lot of proof. That's not so easy. I don't know if you learned that the Gemara in the second parak, you need to have 14 sudos. It's the sheet of Rabbi Lazar. That takes a lot of work. That's hard.
Shmuel says that it's one continuous thing. That's why you only make one bracha
on the first day. Right. You have to go there. And that's why it's only if you sleep on Shemini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, not if you sleep on Purim. If you sleep on Purim, you're not changing the duration. If you sleep on Shemini Atzeres or Simchas Torah, you're extending the natural duration of sukkah from a 7-day rental, or in Chutz La'aretz an 8-day rental, to a 9-day rental. That's the problem. You got all these gemaras that make it sound like you can have Bal Tosef without changing the chetza. Most of them, you can find a chetza that changes. Sitting on Shemini Atzeres is a little bit tough. Anyway, that's just a small taste of what was going on, and. A little bit I'm trying to convey to you, that's what goes on in yeshivas. This is a yeshiva with a very, very, very deep masorah. And all yeshivas in Israel are great. I'm sure you'll be picking from a lot of great yeshivas. But when you're learning with a masorah, and you're learning in a base medrash, not just with kids your age, but with a lot of adults. I mean, we've got three kolels in the yeshiva. We've got a kolel that you have to spend 10 years to get into, a kolel gavoa. Now, that's not where you are, you're Shan Aleph guys, like you're Shan Aleph, a moron. I didn't even say that, but it's like a leavening effect. When you walk into a place with guys your age, okay, it's Ensis Waikolal, we're not Ensis Waikolal. This is oftentimes referred to as the mirror of the Hesder world. This is of the Hesder yeshivas. Just a little trick question, I'm sure you'll ask a little bit later. How many Hesder yeshivas are there in Israel?
A lot.
Thank you.
Has there with American or has there just
Hesder? Hesder. What's the Hesder world comprised of?
A lot.
Eight. A lot.
75. You're seeing a small little keyhole of the Hesder world. Small four places that take Americans. Have you heard of Otniel? Have you heard of Yerucham? Have you heard of Karabatia? Have you heard of Malot? Have you heard of Kiryat Shmona? Have you?
Yes.
They were here? No.
Preserve
it. In that world, And what's fascinating about it is that here, I'm just trying to give you context. Here, in America, the top heads of yeshivas like Rosh Kirim Yavne, those are like the ones people speak about. In Israel, this doesn't in any way detract from the quality of the American programs in the Hesder yeshivas, if you're thinking about applying to Hesder, because they're great programs. But in Israel, we have a rule in my house. I've got a lot of boys. The rule in my house is you can go to any Hesder yeshiva you want, as long as it's Malei Adumim, Gush, or Yerucha. Those are the Kiryat Biyad, the Gush Shalavim in Israel. Like if you're in Chorev, or in Tiv Meir, or Makor Chayim, or any of the like top line Herzog, or Mechon Lev, those are clearly, unquestionably, they're called the Holy Trinity. Holy Trinity, like a little Shlishia Kedosha. So if you're looking for that, if you're looking for a place where you're not just going to encounter great guys from DRS and great guys from Rambam and great guys from TABC and great, which, quite frankly, a lot of it's what you want. But if you're looking all of a sudden to blow the stack off and leave Kansas and walk into a Beis Medrash with not just kids your type and South Africans and Australians and Italians and Swiss and older color and a community, it's a different feel. It's not a program with your guys and your conformity. It's a Beis Medrash that's attached. It's like Lakewood because the community around the Beis Medrash is all Gush alum. And everyone davens there for Shabbos and you learn with their kids and you get to eat in their houses. And it's a very, very different feel, and that's what makes it spectacularly unique for the right guy. It's not, and some of the people ask me, what's the difference between Gush and I'll say, you're comparing apples and oranges. This program, cool, I don't want to talk about other yeshivas. That yeshiva is a great yeshiva with great rabbanim. There are Israelis alongside, but more or less integration. This is an ecosphere. This is an ecosystem, and everyone's integrated. It's like I say, imagine the difference between going into AT&T and going into Google. AT&T, you go and say, I need coverage, Verizon, send me up, and they'll do a great job. And that's your focus. Google's 1,000 different things at once. Search and balloons and driverless cars. I mean, we're in South Africa, we're in Australia, we have 80,000 Shiram of VBM, 90,000 Sfarim in our library, Chayalim come, heads of state. It's a whole different experience, and that's what I want to try to meet some of you today and try to give you that sense. Okay, again. So I'm going to try my hardest. I'm a little bit running around today. I'll make a list of guys. I have a list that's easier if they gave me in the office. This is not your Bechina, but be honest. I'll be honest with you. This counts for us more than the Bechina. Okay? We're not trying to create Einsteins. We're not trying to create Socrates. We're going to create Yirei Shamayim. And we want to know who you are. And you'll tell me who you are today without the specter of the Bechina. And, of course, you'll tell me who you are in February as well, whether it's me or someone else. But even, again, I'm not going to point out this one, that one. But look at the four boys who are in Gush this year. Five boys. Fodeman, Fruchter, Rabinovich, Shmuel Cohn, and Itai. You know, I don't want to say who's who, but these aren't all the Einsteins of the world. That's not what we're looking for. No. I'm trying to say we're not, it's not like, oh, Einstein and Newton and Socrates and Pascal. That's not what we're trying to get. We're trying to get from boys who are driven. I'm not interested, oh, you'll impress me with how well you'll read a Blat Gemara. I want to know what Yunusham is. Are you someone that's really sincerely interested in finding out Kodesh Baruch Hu through Talmud Torah? The primary medium in our yeshiva is Talmud Torah. So you need to be something that's drawn to that. In some other places, there's a greater emphasis on experientialism to trigger that Avodas Hashem. We have singing in Gush, we have dancing, and it's like ridiculous call. People are like, I'm happy that the rumors exist. You know, like these guys come and it's so different. And like they buy into Gush so quickly because they realize the rumors are ridiculous. So like it actually is an institutional asset for us that people have such stigmas about us because it's so false. So when the guys come, it's, oh, that's ridiculous. I'm on, like I'm in. And like even those guys, you know, some of them, Fodeman's a more brainy guy. You can see Fodeman enjoying a place, doesn't sing and doesn't dance, right? But that's not Itai, and that's not Fruchter, and that's not the Rabinovich. So it's a very different feel, and I'll try to help you get to the bottom of some of that. It's a very Israeli yeshiva. We have 30 guys serving in Sava now. That's an incredible number, 30 overseas guys. Here's a good way to phrase it. Do you want to go to Sava? Some of you may want to, and Gush is very compelling for that. I'll try to explain why. But in addition, you want to go to a place where a lot of guys are going to Tzava, to Tzal. It's a big difference. I don't want to go to Tzal, but I may want to be in a place where a lot of guys are going because that's important to me. That there's not pressure, but there's a surge, that it's important that yeshiva validates it. That's important. If it's important to you, it's an important place. Is Tanakh learning important to you? It's pretty much under Rabbi told him, if I open the Tanafi and ask you to find Sefer Micha, if I ask you the difference between Yirmiyah and Yeshayah, just broad strokes, what Yirmiyah was doing, what Yeshayah was doing, right? Don't be embarrassed. It's not your fault. You just weren't exposed to that. This is ground zero for serious Tanakh learning. You've heard of Rabbi Liebtag, maybe some of you, a very famous Tanakh Rebbe. And again, in Keren B'Avda, when they're not learning Tanakh, they're not playing volleyball. They're learning more Gemara. So it's not a question of which is good and which is bad. It's just, do you want to dedicate 2 hours a day? We want you to know Tanakh when you come out of Yeshiva. That's important to us, and to know Tanakh not just linearly, line by line, but large-scale assessments, okay? I'm describing Naomi and Sefer Rosh. She loses her fame, her wealth, her children, her everything. Who else am I describing in Tanakh? Anyone know?
Iyov.
So what's the relationship between Sefer Rosh and Sefer Iyov? I could prove to you 35 cross-textual associations between Iyov and Rosh. The word Shakai doesn't appear anywhere else in Tanakh outside of Bereshis except for Rosh and Iyov. Hashem is not referred to Shakai anywhere else. And 1,000 others. And 35 others, not 1,000. Why the Torah wants us to read Rosh and Iyov side by side? Why? Okay, I'll just give you a quick 2-minute lecture. Because in Iyov, when people respond to divine injustice, they ask why. It's a big philosophical question. Theodicy, how could there be evil in a world where Hashem is munificent and benevolent and all omnipotent? Famous question of evil. In Rosh, people don't ask why. They ask, what can we do? How can we rebuild the world? How do human beings respond to divine injustice? Do you sit there and philosophize about it, or do you just try to change it? Follow? And you can only get that by contrasting two books, contrasting two works. So there's a lot of not just what the Pasuk says and what Rashi and the Radak say, but large scale. If you read 20 Pesukim, what's the word that dominates those 20 Pesukim? What word constantly appears in a section of 20 Pesukim? It's called in Hebrew the Milah Mancha, the leading word, the word that somehow leaps out at you. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot. I'll try to help you get to the bottom. I'll help you build a profile, whether it's for you or not. Let's stop. You guys have to go to your classes. It's 9:25. Okay, so we said, who am I going to meet? Who's staying late today? You said, Elio's staying late. You know what? Put down your cell phone. That's the easiest. Okay? And therefore, I have one or two meetings before. Let's start now. Let's start again. Who wants to meet me today?
I have some questions about some stuff. So.
Okay. Okay. So, again, Oppenheim, Benji, I'm just trying to think of the names, Rafi, Eliyahu, Cooper,
Cooperman,
I'm said Bluth, Mami, Lichter, okay, am I forgetting anyone?
Okay, yeah, Goldblatt,
okay, I have Bluth, Goldblatt, Cooperman, Levy, Lichter, Oppenheim, Schlager, and Benji, okay, great, cool, okay, next step. The two guys that are staying late are Eliyahu and Benji. Okay. And Goldblatt. Okay. 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 And Oppenheimer. Okay. So then you guys are staying late. I'm going to prioritize everyone first. Who's willing to go now, like in the next 10 minutes? I just have to get myself settled. Okay. So, okay. Just so I just want to get this. So Cooperman will go early and Oppenheimer will go early. Okay, great. And Lichter will go next. Okay, by that time, we'll be right. Okay. These will take, again, don't worry, oh, this guy took 20 minutes, this guy took 40 minutes. Just some guys have more questions, less questions. It's really just a cool, chill chance for us to get a little bit of who you are, answer your initial questions. The best advice I can give you about yeshivas in general, I'll give you two bits of advice. First of all, I know you guys don't use Facebook anymore. It's for like the old people, you use Snapchat, whatever. The yeshivas use them a lot, okay? We specifically have two really very active Facebook pages, Hebrew and English. Again, if you have an allergy to Facebook, fine, but there's a lot of stuff going on. You see the breadth of yeshiva. We have an English Facebook and a Hebrew Facebook because there's so much going on. Twitter as well. If you're really interested in getting more information, this is a good route, like sign up, like the yeshiva's Facebook. It's not transparent. We don't see you, you see us. So if you post something, we don't see you. We don't even know if you've joined. But this is like a constant feed of what's going on in yeshiva. It must be about 800 YouTube videos. Seriously, like there's tons of stuff on YouTube. Just go to the Gush channel and all the yeshivas for that matter. Second thing, really important, is not about Gush, okay? There's a lot of swirl around yeshivas, and you'll see it's going to build up in February time. You're going to feel very, very like, well, what's going on? Why so many people talk to me about different yeshivas? The best I can tell you is find people of the yeshivas you're considering ask them about their yeshiva and their yeshiva only. Don't ask a Shalavim guy about Gush. Don't ask a Gush guy about Shalavim. That's just intellectual, you know, design. And it's not their fault. Kids are kids. They like to talk. But there's no way you can capture yeshiva you didn't spend time in. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's all rumors and hearsay. Ask a Shalavim guy, tell me about your yeshiva. Ask a good, I'm just picking Shalavim. Ask a Gush guy, tell me about your yeshiva. The best way is to ask a second question. And then tell me, what are the limitations of your yeshiva? Who is Gush for, and who is Gush not, and who is Shalavim? Because if they can't tell you limitations, then they're a cheerleader. And they just say, oh, this is the best place. Everyone has to go here. Normally, if kids can say, let me know who you are, it may be for you, this is for whom it's for, it's not, that's a more of an honest, mature, adult-like. I strongly encourage you to bring adults into the conversation, because I found, I used to be the director of admissions, Baruch Hashem, I'm no longer the director of admissions, there's some other kook that's doing it. I'm still, you know, everyone's got to go around and give shiur and talk to people. I generally find kids get very, very, look, you're all bright kids, I get that sense, you're all adult kids, but I don't mean to demean you, but you're also impressionable. You're 17 years old. I mean, that's, you're supposed to be impressionable. That's where you're coming to Israel, to be impressed, to be influenced. There's a lot of aggressive recruiting going on outside. A lot of kids who are, you know, to get you to come to their yeshiva, please come to my yeshiva. It pays to bring some adult at some level into the conversation, whether it's Rabbi Har, whether it's Avi Hirschman, whether it's your parent, whether, not to make the decision for you, but to say, this is how I'm thinking. Does it make sense? Like, check my logic. And they can help check you, are you making a sound? You can't make the right decisions in life. That you can't guarantee. You can make decisions the right way. It's an important skill in life. You can't always make the right decision because you don't know what the future holds. You can make decisions the right way. The right way to make decisions, especially with this, because this is really your first decision in life. I've been through kids who go through this process, and it's really hard for you because you really haven't made major decisions until now. Show of hands, how many guys chose Rambam as opposed to your parents? Okay. How much of that decision was really you, and how much was the parents? Are you able to like look back? Was it like 100% yours?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so that's changing a little bit. Generally, I see a lot of guys having a really, really hard time with this, and it's pretty clear it's the first time they have to make a major, major decision. Maybe the Rambam decision is easier because it's a little bit, you know, maybe it's easier because it's here. So you spend time in Rambam, you got a feel. For most of you, you're choosing without ever having stepped into the building. So it's harder because there's just no concrete anchor, right? Did you guys all come into the building 4 years ago and you walked through the building? Did anyone choose Rambam without seeing it?
Pretty much.
I'm not surprised. But anyway, okay, but seriously, here you're not, anyone coming to Israel for a visit? Okay, so come by the yeshiva. You visited Israel. Come by the yeshiva. What, you come in January, basically? Okay, so be in touch with me and all the people at the yeshivas. I'm not going to be your chaperone during the day. There's a guy who handles visits, and you'll see. And that's really the best way. For guys that are coming to yeshiva, it's almost like the best investment you can make, because then you really have clarity. And you really see, you talk, you feel, and then you're really in a good space. Okay, I'm going to stop talking. You guys go to share. Give me 10 minutes. But please, everyone who has a red check next to them, just put in your cell phone. Okay, I'm not going to sign you up to WhatsApp because I'll just text you. Everyone is texting, right? So I'll text. Please put down your cell phone because my day changes and I'm running around. Just put your cell phone with us. Okay, guys, whoever didn't take a brochure that's applying, show of hands, brochure that is applying.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have
three
ones that are coming early.
What?
Should I also tell my number from coming early?
Because I may have to step out and.
Okay. And I WhatsApp.
Yeah. I just, for WhatsApp, I have to add your name to the contacts, so it's just as.